If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. It's Tuesday, November the 11th, 2025. And we thank you again for listening to American Family Radio. Joining me in studio is Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
And good morning.
And good morning, Chris Woodward.
Good morning.
And I was going to say in Kansas City, Kansas, but no, Ray flew south to Florida.
I flew away with the snowbirds, and here we are in Hudson, Florida. And Tim, for some reason, the cold weather followed us all the way down here to Central Florida this morning.
I wonder, Ray, you must not be living right, brother.
I got to get on my knees and confess my sins or something.
Is that a blanket you're wrapped in?
That's exactly what it looks like. It was 35 degrees here in Hudson, Florida, which is like -6 back in Kansas City, you know.
Right, right. But it won't stay that long, that cold, but for a couple of days. Day or two, right? Tomorrow.
That's right.
I think tomorrow it warms back up. But yeah, about half the country is being hit with this Arctic blast, what I call it. Some people call it some kind of vortex or something. But in some cases, record lows for this day, right?
We do have a story about this on AFN.net. Matter of fact, our headline is Arctic air sinks deep into Florida, and it says a National Weather Service forecaster said the weather could bring record low temperatures in the U.S. Southeast, including all of Florida, where parts of the state were near 80 degrees just a few days ago. It goes on to say the cold air brought gusty wind and red flag warnings in the Great Plains on Monday, and forecasters said the Great Lakes and Appalachian Mountain regions could see 4 inches to 8 inches of snow.
Yeah. I almost took off to go hunting.
Oh, really?
But the wind.
Okay. You mean because of the cold?
With the cold front coming in.
Did they get the deer moving around?
Deers, yeah. What happens is when there's a drop.
Did I say deers?
Deers. You started to. You caught yourself.
Yeah,
though.
A deer. Deer, right?
That's right.
That's plural.
You got it correct.
Okay.
But yeah, when the temperature drops drastically, 15 to 20 degrees on either end, usually deer move really well. Hey, also, I don't want to change subjects too quick. We do got an announcement for you.
We do have an announcement?
Yeah. But
okay, well, anyway, Ray, you'll be back to sunshine and warmth tomorrow, right?
That's exactly right. But I got to say this, Tim.
Yeah.
They actually put out an official warning, watch for falling iguanas. Those are like those big lizards that when it gets below 50 degrees,
get notifications.
The iguanas, they kind of freeze up, they go numb, and they fall out of the trees. So we had an official watch out for falling iguanas.
I wonder, does that kill them, or are they just sort of in a coma?
It knocks them unconscious, and then when it warms back up, they warm up. Can you imagine walking out a sidewalk and you get hit by a falling
iguana?
Iguana?
Yeah. Those things aren't small.
No, they're
not. You know, they're not like a little cricket or anything.
Yeah, you'd like to think that they're smart enough that as the temperature drops, they go to lower ground. Because if you're all the way at the top of a 20-foot tree and you're an iguana.
Yeah, but they're going to a lower ground involuntarily.
That's right.
Oh, I know that.
They're dropping through branches. But anyway, so falling iguana, that sounds like a country song there. Watch out for the falling iguanas.
It's more of a hip-hop song, but.
Yeah, or it might be a good name again for a band.
That's right.
Now that would be falling iguanas.
The falling iguanas.
Huh? More so than a country song.
You said you had an announcement.
Oh yeah, we got
an announcement.
This
is like bulletins at church. Time to read the bulletin at church.
That's what it feels like because we do this so often.
You are about to read it.
I am going
to
read it.
I don't even know what it is. Go ahead.
We have National Collection Week for Operation Christmas Child. This year, Operation Christmas Child is hoping to reach 12.6 million children with the gospel through the shoebox gift. We all know what this is. If anybody's been listening to AFR for any amount of time, or you've been to any of your local churches, so many churches across the country, across denominations come together for this time each year, the National Collection Week during, this is the pre-week, and then of course it goes all the way up and through November 24th. So November 17th through November 24th are the dates that we are asking you to partner with Operation Christmas Child, Samaritan's Purse, that is, to collect shoeboxes. What you'll do there, all the information, they have become a little bit more specific over the years of what they're needing and what we want, what they're asking you and what we're asking you to put in the shoebox. So you can go to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. That's Samaritans with an S, purse.org/OCC. Just a couple of the obvious things as we've put our boxes together at my house for Operation Christmas Child over the years. Toothbrush, toothpaste, obviously crayons, things like that. But there is a good list that you can read off. And then there are a few things that they say don't put in there. And so you'll want to go check out
that list. Don't want any iguanas.
No iguanas. Right. Unless it has been frozen and fallen asleep.
And it will wake up when they get there and be a pet for the children?
Then that's acceptable.
Yeah, okay. we're just kidding, people. Don't put iguanas in your Operation Children.
Shoe boxes.
Okay. So again, if people want more information about this, we've told Samaritan's Purse that we will help them get the word out.
That's right.
Not that they need much help because everybody knows what this is, but this is Operation Christmas Child Shoebox Campaign, and they need to get it done by when?
By November 24th, and you can turn in your
shoeboxes
at almost any local church. Mm-hmm. I mean, most likely, we're almost serving as a reminder because almost all churches are participating in this. And now, if your local church is not, there's going to be a local church close by.
Yeah.
And on their website, they have a drop place.
I posted on our Today's Issues Facebook page the link to Samaritan's Purse in terms of the Christmas Child. It's all the stuff you need. If you'll click that link, look for Pack a Shoebox, and then look down for drop-off locations. You'll basically enter your zip code, and they'll tell you all the places that you could drop something.
We're encouraging you to do this.
Yeah, but it does have a list of items that they recommend you put in the shoebox, mm-hmm. Right?
That's right.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
That makes sense. A toothbrush, toothpaste, you know. They probably won't put some kind of toy in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Something fun. Mm-hmm. Huh?
Something fun.
Yeah.
And then, you know, obviously.
What is it? Is yo-yo awesome one track. Of the, do they accept yo-yos?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
we've got to bring
the
yo-yo back.
I know in years past, Franklin Graham has told us that, you know, you could even put maybe like a deflated soccer ball and like something to inflate it and things like that.
Yeah, we're going to.
You can put an inflated soccer ball in a shoebox.
Yeah, you can.
These shoeboxes have gotten large over time. Yeah, with the pump or with directions on how to blow it up by mouth.
Okay. Wow, that's a lot of stuff to put in a little shoebox right there.
That's why duct tape comes involved.
People with bigger feet than me have a bigger shoebox, so you could send a bigger shoebox.
Yeah. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Ray, Tim, Wesley, and Chris. Today is Veterans Day, right? Right.
It sure is. And as we speak right now, President Trump is at a Veterans Day ceremony at Arlington National Cemetery. Looks like VA Secretary Doug Collins is there, as well as veteran and Vice President J.D. Vance also there for the wreath-laying ceremony at the Arlington National Cemetery. I've posted a link to our C-SPAN friends over there that people can click on that and watch it live for themselves if they want to. But a traditional thing here that President Trump is participating in, something many of his predecessors
today, a lot of times, this is not a big deal, but for me, I think about the veterans. There's a difference between Memorial Day
yes.
and Veterans Day.
Correct.
Okay. Now, they do go, they, meaning the president and the vice president, go to Arlington National Cemetery today. And they'll also go on Memorial Day because it's the most symbolic venue in the country to commemorate the service of our servicemen and women, both living and dead. But in this case, we're honoring veterans. So thank a veteran.
Yeah, for sure.
Today. Thank a veteran today. Almost all of us know a veteran or two or multiple veterans. And thank a veteran today. Take them to lunch. Give them a gift card. Send them a text, whatever the case may be. But thank a veteran today because it is Veterans Day. Again, the president and the vice president, we're watching on TV right now. They're in Washington, D.C. at the Arlington National Cemetery at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier and having a ceremony there on Veterans Day. Anything you wanted to add about that, fellas?
Well, I mean, everything that we're doing right now is made possible because of a veteran. So we need to – that's something we kind of take for granted. All of our freedoms were fought for and sometimes paid for by veterans. So definitely
– in an all-voluntary army.
Yeah, yeah.
An army, navy – by army, I'm using that generically. But now during the Vietnam War and other times we did have the draft, but our people sign up to serve in our military, the vast majority of them on a voluntary basis.
Yeah. There's a number of veteran cemeteries throughout the area. My father was a Vietnam veteran. He went home to be with Jesus back in 2017, but he's buried at a veteran cemetery here in the Corinth area. My stepdad was in the Navy post-Korea, but he served. My father-in-law was in the Army. He served in my father-in-law got the best deployment ever. He served in Hawaii. So, yeah, you know, everybody's, you know, made our lives possible through their service in our armed services.
Amen.
All right. My dad passed away a couple of years ago, but he served in the Army, U.S. Army, 1962 to 64, I think. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues. Is Ray back or not? No, he's not. We've lost Ray. We've lost power. Ray's lost power there in
it's all the cold weather.
Central Florida.
An iguana. Probably is. Fell on his, you know, power box.
That's more accurate. Iguana falling on the power box.
Probably what happened. We laugh. Either that or an alligator, you know, froze up, chomped down on the cord there going to Ray's house.
Yeah.
When it warms up, I say we get a van and we drive over there. I looked at it. Ray's about 10 and a half hours away from us in a car.
Why, you want to drive that?
I will do it. We could do we could do Trivia Friday live from Ray's.
Yeah. By the time we get down there, it'd be warm though.
Yeah.
Warmer.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues. Today is Veterans Day. What's your next story, Chris?
Well, let's mention the update with the government shutdown.
Oh, let's do that.
Yes. I'm sorry to do this, but it is a show called Today's Issues, and this is an update.
Riveting story. Wesley, are you ready for this? Chris is going to bring it.
I'm here for.
Federal government shutdown. What's the latest, Chris?
All right. Late yesterday, the Senate approved a shutdown bill to reopen the government. That now goes to the House. And according to Speaker Mike Johnson, it looks like tomorrow is going to be the earliest they can vote on this. Today is a federal holiday, so even in a shutdown, Congress is not working on a federal holiday. Nonetheless, it looks like Democrats are still going to try to fight this bill and prevent the government from reopening. And I say that based on a comment that Hakeem Jeffries has made. Now, Hakeem Jeffries is the highest-ranking Democrat in the U.S. House of Representatives. And he says they're still going to fight this bill and other issues, even though members of his own party want to just stop it and reopen the government. Clip one.
Leader Schumer and Senate Democrats over the last 7 weeks have waged a valiant fight on behalf of the American people. And I'm not going to explain what a handful of Senate Democrats have decided to do. That's their explanation to offer to the American people. What we're going to continue to do as House Democrats, partner with our allies throughout America, is to wage the fight to stay in the Coliseum.
All right, so even though the government's going to reopen
that's
tomorrow.
That's pretty dramatic language there. I'm seeing Russell Crowe.
Yeah. Are you not entertained?
He's going to stay in the Coliseum there.
Keep fighting.
Keep fighting. So,
But it's easy to say that when you continue to get paid.
In this case, he's going to lose the Democrats because there's enough. There's a handful of Democrats, but that's all it takes in the U.S. Senate to break the filibuster, what they say, so that the federal government will be reopened probably by tomorrow sometime. Probably.
Yeah. And, you know, meanwhile, there are still issues with flying. So if you're taking a flight today or you're planning on flying out tomorrow, maybe even Thursday, you still may experience some disruptions, even though the government appears to be nearing an end to this shutdown.
And Schumer's leading the way, correct?
Yes.
Well, you mean Schumer's leading the way what?
In the way of for the Democrats.
In terms of fighting it, yes.
Well, yes. Schumer's still opposed to... Chuck Schumer, the Senate majority leader, is still a minority leader. Mm-hmm. The Democrats. He's opposed to opening up, but he has some Democrat senators.
That's right.
In his that are bucking his leadership and going to vote with the Republicans.
Yeah. I have that list.
Well,
again.
What's the list of the?
All right. So these are the Democratic caucus members. That voted to bring an end to all this stuff. Senator Christine Cortez Masto of Nevada, Senator mm-hmm. Dick Durbin of Illinois, mm-hmm. Senator John Fetterman of Pennsylvania, Maggie Hassan of New Hampshire, Tim Kaine of Virginia, Angus King of Maine. He's an independent, but he hangs out with the Democrats. Jackie Rosen of Nevada and Gene Shaheen of New Hampshire.
Yeah, I do think that those Democrats were... they wanted to reopen the government because they were getting a lot of pressure from their constituents, you know?
Yeah, that's usually how this goes. At this point, it's hard to believe it's been 7 weeks. It almost seems like it was never going to
It's the longest federal government shutdown in history. Mm-hmm. And I guess what gets me is these folks that have been working without a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the congressmen and senators, they've taken some blame for this, some flack for this, but... even though the government's shut down, they still get paid.
Oh yeah.
While other federal government employees don't.
Mm-hmm.
So that's seems to me the fair thing to do would be for them to share in the pain so that they would be motivated even more to get a resolution to a problem before it becomes a serious problem for families who are living paycheck to paycheck,
right?
Who work for the federal government, I'm talking about, and these SNAP benefits and so forth like that. Mm-hmm. Now, is that so? That's going to all that should be ending tomorrow. The way I'm reading it.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if the government's not back open for business and spending willy nilly by Thursday.
And I'm reading here that the post office is going to improve as a result.
Are you really now? Okay.
I'm kidding.
Now, we got a lot of postal workers who work for us. You want to take their calls?
Yeah, I will take the ones that you're
going to. That could be two of them right now.
That's
look at
right,
that.
Yeah. No, we all know what I'm talking about. There's obviously, there's good Christian, godly,
hard working
in the post office, but the system's messed up.
In a lot of ways. Yep, you're right. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. Enough on the federal
government.
I'm happy
to move on, sir.
Let's move on to another topic.
Yes, this is something that we ended the 10 o'clock hour with yesterday, and I bring it back up because I have a soundbite from somebody that we all know, somebody well-spoken on this issue. Yesterday, as we reported on the show, the International Olympic Committee is reportedly set to ban transgender women from competing in all female categories.
Fantastic.
Translation, the International Olympic Committee says no more males and female sports. Somebody that Fox went to for comment on this is Riley Gaines, who had this to say about the big announcement. Clip 8.
Look, I think this is long overdue, of course. I was looking at some of the articles that came out yesterday, and it said that the IOC came to this decision after findings of these scientific reviews, which is amazing to me. I don't really believe that we needed scientific reviews to determine that men and women are different. I think if you used common sense and reasoning and really just your eyeballs, you would get there. But nonetheless, kudos to the IOC for telling us, I think, what kindergartners already knew.
I would high five her if she were here. That was a great comment she closed with, and she's absolutely right. So the International Olympic Committee, I guess they were doing their, quote, due diligence.
That's right.
So that they could explain to the world who and to those who are you know, promoting the trans movement, the reasoning behind their decision.
They needed someone to cite.
Yeah, exactly. So we did our studies, and we found that males and females are competitively different. So we're going to keep the sexes separate for the Olympic Games. I mean, that's what they said.
Which, if you think about it, makes sense.
Yeah.
We need to make common sense. But this is good to know that we won't have this controversy coming up, because we do have the Olympic Games, the Winter Games coming up.
I believe they're in February.
February,
Italy. This go round. I'm gonna look up the exact dates for you.
You don't hear about this so much in the Winter Games as you heard about it in the Summer Games. I'm talking about men saying they're women and wanting to box against the girls, for example, or weightlift against the girls.
That's the image on the New York Post. They have an image.
Throw the shot put against the girls. Right. Somebody claims they're some dude claims he's a girl.
Yeah.
So this is going to be forbidden, banned, and so this is good news.
It is.
Good news for those who are, and I'm one of them. I enjoy watching the Olympic Games. Every two years now you get the Olympic Winter Games. They used to have them the same year. They used to have the Olympics, the Winter and the Summer Games the same year.
It seems like they stopped doing that somewhere around maybe 92, and then they started doing the every other year thing.
Yeah, I like it that way because you have something to look forward to every 2 years as far as the Olympic Games. But so do we have the winter? Is winter coming up?
Yes. Winter is February 6th through February 22nd of 2026.
Where will that be?
It's going to be in Milan, Italy. And interestingly enough, the Super Bowl right now is scheduled to be February 8th. So February is a big sports month next year.
Yeah. And then the Summer Games will be...
They're going to be in LA, I think.
Well, I think it's a year from this next summer. So,
2028.
I think so. In Los Angeles.
Yes. I would have no doubt that President Donald Trump will be there and proudly proclaim it a big, beautiful game.
And this is a decision made by... go ahead.
That was Chris.
Yeah, they actually have a countdown to the 2028 Olympics.
No way. Online.
1,008 days.
Okay, what were you going to say?
On the IOC ruling, it's not a ruling, it's a decision to ban... men and women's sports, it was voted unanimously.
Yeah.
So.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, Tim, Wesley, and Chris. If you're wondering, what happened to Ray? Well, Ray's had he's had an attitude problem going on 3 weeks now.
Send him back to Kansas City.
No, I'm just kidding. Ray has been disconnected by no fault of his own. That we hope, but the power is out on his internet service, right? It's in Florida, so it may have been a fallen iguana that hit his power line outside his house or something like that. We don't know. Hopefully we'll get Ray hooked up back. Let's take our break a little early here. Hopefully we'll get Brother Ray back on. Sandy Rios, also a Floridian, is going to join us momentarily. We hope. Hope power isn't out all over Florida.
Where's she located? Do you know today?
She's located in Central Florida.
Okay.
With Ray. All right, we'll be back. Stay with us.
We're living in a time when truth is under attack. Lies are easy to tell, easy to spread, and easy to believe. But truth is costly. And nowhere is the cost greater than for mothers in crisis. When a woman is told abortion is her only option, silence and lies surround her. But when she walks into a preborn network clinic, she's met with compassion, support, and the truth about the life growing inside her. That moment of truth happens through a free ultrasound, and it's a game changer. When a mother sees her baby and hears that heartbeat, it literally doubles the chance she'll choose life. Preborn Network clinics are on the front lines, meeting women in their darkest hour, loving them, and helping them choose life and sharing truth. Friend, this is not a time to be silent. It's a time for courage, for truth, for life. Just $28 provides one ultrasound and the opportunity for a mother to see her baby, to help her choose truth and life. Donate today. Call pound 250 and say baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or give online at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. 1 Peter 3:14 through 16.
American Family Radio.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Wesley, and Chris, and we thank you for listening to AFR. Today, again, is Veterans Day, and it's been an we've been observing Veterans Day since 1954.
Okay.
So 71 years in the United States, according to this information I have by Wikipedia, which is always right.
That's right.
So, but I think that is correct. Let's see here. So
they're usually right on that. When we joke about them being wrong, they're usually wrong on more of these social issues.
Well, Wikipedia. I remember reading a story a couple of weeks ago by the co-founder of Wikipedia. Now he's no longer with the company, so to speak, or with the website, but he said they have developed a liberal bias.
And
I think most people know that.
But as far as dates,
he was one of the co-founders. But as far as a lot of just simple factual information that's non-political, so to speak, they're pretty good to go there for just your basic information. But this is saying that, according to Wikipedia, that 1954 was the first Veterans Day commemoration. There was probably something before that that had went by a different name. I don't know. Now we've had Memorial Day even longer than that.
Well, Veterans Day has a connection to the end of World War One, so it may have been a celebration to commemorate the ending of that war.
That would have been longer than 70-something years.
Yeah,
though.
Because
it may have been called something else.
Right. The end of World War One is the 11th day of the 11th month and all that stuff. So
what's all that stuff?
That's like Armistice Day, I think.
Yes, you're right. You're right. That's what it was called.
That may have been what Veterans Day was thought of. Or
it's pretty impressive there.
Shout out to Coach Millinder at Amory High School and his knowledge.
For your history knowledge that he imparted?
I loved history. It's like story time during school. All the other stuff is the reason I have a BA in communication.
I'd like to mention something since we are talking about history. This morning I was listening to a podcast on American Family Radio called the subject was The Pilgrim's Story in the Words of William Bradford, Part 1. And that's a podcast series called America's Providential History on American Family Radio. It's exclusive to podcasting. There's not enough room on our current radio network to host it. So we host it at AFR.net. AFR.net, you can get America's Providential History podcast by Stephen McDowell. And he's beginning what will end up being a 3 or 4 part series. Well, 2, 3, 4 part series that is discussing what led up to Thanksgiving and why we have Thanksgiving the way we have it.
Yeah, this is becoming more and more popular, this podcast, and we do recommend it. It is just a it's a college or university level class that Stephen McDowell is giving away for free,
yeah,
so to speak. He does a weekly podcast. He is a historian. His name is Stephen McDowell. Many of you know him because he goes on our tours with us to Washington, D.C., and to Williamsburg, and to Boston. Well, he does a weekly podcast on all kind of history, American history, that you will love if you enjoy history that Wesley's talking about.
It varied from 20 minutes to 40 minutes, and
right.
Today he began one that's going to lead us all the way up until Thanksgiving.
I got you. So go to the website, AFR.net. That's our website. Click on podcast, and then you'll see the banner for the America's Providential History weekly podcast, and it is outstanding. And so check that out, America's Providential History. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. We're joined now by, speaking of podcasts, Sandy Rios, host of Sandy Rios 24/7, a podcast here we offer, another podcast we offer here on American Family Radio. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning, Tim. Hey, sound sick this morning.
I got, I got a little sniffles going on here, but it's not going to stop me.
Not going to get you out of the arena.
No, I don't have, don't scare these guys in the studio with me, because I do not have a fever, and I do not have the flu. I got this weather whiplash going on, which is happening to you guys in Florida too, right?
It is. We had freeze this morning. We had frost on our hot tub.
Wow,
we did, really,
ironic.
On the cover.
Yeah. Frost on the hot tub in Florida.
Yeah, yep, pretty much. We're suffering.
Those are words. Oh, yeah, no, those are words.
1-800 suffering. Send your money.
For just 10 cents a day, you can help Sandy have a hot, right, hot tub.
That's funny. Unfreeze Sandy's from hot tub by calling this number. Well, I know I was going to talk to Ray about this, too, and we've joked about this many times on this program. You grew up in Illinois, but spent many – how long did you spend living in the Chicago area? Sandy?
Yeah, I'm thinking 25 years probably.
25 years, maybe. So yeah. you could write a book on brutal winters, right?
Yes, I could. I moved there in 1978 from California. It was one of the worst winters they ever had. And the snow was so high, it was higher than your car. You had to drive through a tunnel. That was my first winter there.
I remember that in the 70s, like 74 to 79, it was just one brutal winter after another for the whole country, really. But you guys living in that area, just the Great Lake effect and all that, and the wind that comes through Chicago. Anyway, now you grew up in Central, right? Central South?
Southern
Illinois. Up,
15 miles, 14 miles from Kentucky.
I got
14
you.
14 miles from Indiana.
I got you. All right, well, let's talk about Tucker Carlson for a minute here. We've discussed the controversies that Tucker's been involved with on this program, and as we've expressed here before, we, and Sandy would be included in this, we all enjoyed Tucker's commentaries and his program back during the Fox News days, and even before that, he was on Crossfire with his bow tie back in the day. Tucker's always been a good sound voice of reason for conservative principles. But what in the world has happened to Tucker on the subject of Israel has us scratching our heads, so to speak. A lot of us who have supported and appreciated Tucker Carlson over the decades. Sandy, speak on this issue, if you would, here.
Well, of course, I go back with Tucker to those days at Crossfire and George Washington University. That's how long I've known him. I did Crossfire dozens of times and co-hosted Crossfire with Paul Begala three different times, and had a famous blow up with James Carville on that show that made Rush Limbaugh's show. So that's how I know Tucker. I did a really in-depth show last week. It's complicated, but honestly, to try to respond quickly, I think the problem is this, Tim. I think we have such confusion among various stripes of Christian on biblical teaching on Israel. We are either in evangelical churches getting no teaching, and that's not true for everyone, but pretty much the seminaries have been teaching replacement theology, which means the church has replaced is God replaced has replaced Israel with the church for his promises, which is just apostasy. I would just say that God is not changing. What is he? The Bible says, "What is he, a man that would change his mind? What is he, a human that he would change his mind?" He doesn't do that. His promises, if they're not lasting for Israel, they're not lasting for us either. So, and then I think, you know, Tucker's part of that Episcopalian strain, which I'm sure they're either into replacement or they don't teach anything about Israel. So I think Tucker is, in his particular case, I'm speculating. I haven't talked to him about this. But his confusion is based, I would like to say it's not intentional. Some people think it is, and I could get into that. But it's certainly based on his ignorance of Israel, his biblical ignorance of Israel and the connection, the fact that we are people of the book, we are joined at the hip, that Israel is central to the whole story of Scripture. It will culminate, their history will culminate in the future, and we cannot write them out of the script. So, but here's the other thing. In regard to Roman Catholics, which I have to give my caveats. I've worked with Roman Catholics as an activist for years. I love so many of my Catholic friends. I am not blind about the differences in terms of our theology. But this new pope, I think, has been a tremendous disappointment. Catholics have gone through a desert, you know, of disgrace with a priest's abuse of children. Then the last pope was an out-and-out apostate, and I think they had high hopes for this guy, but here's what he's done. He came out and said in July that the Israelis had bombed this Holy Family Church in Gaza, that they were killing Christians. He also said that they were committing genocide in Gaza, and I'm here to tell you guys and anyone listening, that was an abject lie. That he never withdrew. I can make my case for that if you want me to, but that's a lie. And Tucker is repeating it over and over again. Now, Tucker, do you want me to just?
Just to be clear here, you're saying the Pope did this. He called it genocide, mm-hmm. And you're saying Tucker Carlson also called
that, and the fact, and he just repeated in this so-called apology, and he's actually embellished it. That the Israelis have attacked Christian churches and they've killed, what did he say, dozens? A bunch. They've killed a bunch of Christians. That's not true. That's not true, Tim. Mm. That Holy Family Church, that was a piece of equipment that came off of a tank or something. And it wasn't an attack on the church. And these people that were killed, it was kind of it wasn't even in the building. It didn't do that much damage. This is a complete embellishment / lie. Yeah. And Tucker keeps repeating it, and the Pope has never taken it back. So all of our Catholic friends, like Kevin Roberts, who runs Heritage, and all the people at Heritage who are Roman Catholic, faithful Catholics, love the Holy Father, they believe this stuff. That's why they want to remove a support from Israel. That's why Tucker wants to. And this apology that he just delivered, so-called apology with comedian Dave Smith, I was so optimistic and so hopeful. But all he did was double down on repeating that story and saying, that's why I was upset with my Christian Zionist friends, because I mentioned it to them and they just shrug and say, no, we have to support Israel no matter what. And he said, you mean we have to support killing Christians? That's what he said in this interview.
Ridiculous.
Damaging, terribly damaging.
Yeah. Okay, so you said a lot right there.
And, I did.
And you said a lot of good stuff, and I agree with everything you said. Okay, let's separate for a minute Israel theologically from the discussion politically, even though the theological connection is
very important.
Very important, yeah. But just in terms of Israel, let's remember back how this started. Okay, now I know that people who are pro Palestinian, their cause. They're going to say, no, this all started in 1948 when the Jews took over our land and forcibly took over our land, okay? I'm not going to go back to that. I'm going to start with First of all, that's a long story that would take us hours to go through, okay? And we could go, and you would have to go back to the Bible and the British Mandate and the post-Holocaust Nazi Germany and the reasons why the land of Israel was, that a little tiny part of it was given to the Jews to have their own homeland. But just in terms of the modern, what happened here, the Hamas, the leaders, which is the political leadership of the Palestinians in Gaza, they butchered, murdered in the most horrific ways imaginable that you can't even talk about, 1,100 to 1,200 Jews and probably some Christians too. In that fateful day, was that October 6th? Is that what that was?
October 7th.
Yeah. What was the year? They all start running together.
2022.
Okay, 2022.
I'm not sure. You guys better check me on that.
2023.
Okay.
But we all remember that day and the scenes that were coming out of there. So that's what started the war in Gaza. Before that, the Gazans were, the people living in Gaza were not at war in the sense of, they would fire rockets at Israel, but Israel would knock them down and maybe fire a rocket here or there of their own in retaliation, but it wasn't a full-scale war. But when the Hamas decided it was a good idea to go butcher and kill, murder women, children, and men, women, and children at this music festival and everything, and then take, 150 hostages or something like that. When they thought that was a good idea to do, then it was, and excuse the expression, but then it was game on. Hmm. And by that I mean Israel then was going to do what they had to do to defend themselves and to try to get their people back. And so here's where I draw the line. You don't have the right to dictate the terms of a war when you're the one who started it.
That's the bottom line. Yep.
Okay. When the United States was bombed at Pearl Harbor, Japan didn't have the right to say, whoa. You can't bomb us. You're killing. That nuclear weapon you're going to set off, that's going to kill innocent children and women. That's genocide. You can't do that. Now, nobody likes war. If you are, you're a sick person. But at the same time, when war is started by one side, they don't get to tell the other side when to stop. That's the way I see it. And what further complicates the matter is that Hamas doesn't wear uniforms. And they don't go out there and fight straight up like men. Mm-hmm. They hide behind... they put their operations under hospitals and mosques and women and children. And so when Israel has to fight against Hamas, they unfortunately have to fire into civilian areas sometimes and people who are noncombatants. And so innocent people in that sense do get killed. But there's no other way to do it. Mm-hmm. If you're Israel, if you're going to say, okay, Hamas is, they're building up a weapons cache to fire against us from all kinds of places. We've got to, where are they? Well, they're here. Well, we're going to have to fire into there. Well, that's going to kill a bunch of Palestinians and the world's going to condemn us. And Israel was faced with that every single day, those kinds of decisions. So.
Well just, said, Tim.
Yeah, go ahead.
Very well said. I just would add. Because people need to understand, they burned babies alive. They tore babies from pregnant
7th.
Women's wombs.
Yes.
They slaughtered and burned and slashed and abused and tortured. It was horrific. Okay, so if we want to talk about non-biblical reasons, I'm all in. And I would add on this burning attack on these so-called attacks on these Christian churches— killing what?
You mean the accusation that Israel is doing this?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. The so-called yes. Okay.
That Tucker was repeating, and he had a lady on. I say a lady. He had someone on his podcast about 2 months ago that
was talking about that.
Mm-hmm, yep.
He's talked about this several times. He's said horrible things,
mm-hmm.
and I just want to make a case. I've been going to Israel. The first time I went, probably Tim, you've been there. I know you've been there more than I, but the first time I went was probably the mid-90s. My radio show in Chicago was going to have a tour, and I went as on a pre-tour. And I would say that at that time, there's always problems in Israel, but what I observed is that it was had a real strong atheist bent, very proud, very arrogant, not friendly to Christians. I mean, in so much as tourism was important, but certainly not respectful and not you know, my tour guide was. I'm not talking about individual people. I'm talking about the government of Israel. There was no love for Christians, not really. And you tolerated them and you took their money. That I have seen that transform miraculously in the times I've been back, and also because I have lots of Jewish friends now, so I keep in touch even if I don't go. The regard for Christians is they know that we, in whatever stripe we're in, we are their best friends. We are the thing that stands against them in the world. Look at the UN. We are the ones that stand in favor, that defend them. Is there any way in the world they would target Christian churches in Gaza and kill Christians given
ridiculous.
That circumstance? Well, that's the point I just had to make. So, yeah. And Israel, of course, is our best ally. It's the only democracy in the Middle East. And we're making all these deals with Islamists.
Listen, the same people that want to destroy and kill Israel and drive them, kill all the Jews and from the river to the sea, those chants, by that they mean to drive the Jews away from the land altogether, which is in the charter of Hamas, I believe. But the same people that want to kill all the Jews are the same people that want to kill all the Christians. And, you know, it's the ideology of the Iranians. You know, the big Satan is the U.S. The little Satan is Israel. So,
well, and now I just have to bring this back to election day 1 week ago today.
Yeah.
As soon as the Islamist communist Zohan Mamdani won, they called in all these Islamists with their prayer rugs to take over Times Square.
Yep.
What do you, they want to destroy and dominate us. It's not just over in Israel. Israel, we are joined at the hip and the heart trying to fight this. And Israel's fighting and we're talking about it, not doing very much. We cannot let the church fracture on this as though we could stop it. But I do think we have to spend time teaching people, those that are Christians, yes, there's plenty of biblical information, but there's plenty of practical reasons why we cannot turn our back on Israel.
You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim with Wesley and Chris and also Sandy Rios. Sandy's joining us. We're talking about the controversy over the direction that Tucker Carlson has taken having to do with Israel and the Jewish people, really. And I know that Mark Levin is just on the warpath now.
Yes.
Against what Tucker is saying.
You know what Tucker said about him? Tucker said, Mark Levin is a repulsive ghoul who gets off sexually on people being killed. He said that. I've played that clip over and over again. And also, Tucker said, he didn't really think Hamas was a terrorist group. It's more like a political group.
You heard that, Wesley?
Things. Yeah, I heard that too. Yeah.
Well, you listened to the podcast where he said that. But
I've seen the clips of what Sandy is saying.
Yeah.
That he said.
I found the link to it.
I don't know what to say. I'm just flabbergasted.
I did. I want to commend to people a show that I did just last week. I spent a long time on it preparing. I mean preparing to make sure I was accurate. I do my best to speak the truth, and you all know that, but
right.
I just have to tell people. And it's called Christian Zionism, in a quote, is a brain virus, a heresy. That's what Tucker says, as a firestorm erupts. And I tackle all of this. You know, heritage is about to come apart at the seams. The most important think tank for conservatives in the country.
Yeah.
And they are, even if Kevin Roberts has apologized for making a mistake in what he said by saying Tucker is going to remain their good friend, he has not addressed the whole lies about Israel.
Wesley, you were going to say?
Well, I've got a question for Sandy with the time we've got left. So what I have seen in my generation, those would be between 34, 35, well, between 22, 23, and 34, 35 years old, a lot of them have been taught replacement theology, which is what you were referring to earlier.
Yep.
And what would you say to that group of Americans that heard you? Now, I know what you meant, but they would have heard you say, okay, well, then Israel can do no wrong. So how would we respond to
that? She didn't say that.
I know she didn't say that.
Right.
I'm saying that my generation would hear her because she didn't say, she didn't criticize. They would say, you didn't criticize Israel there.
Okay.
Yeah, so, good challenge.
Yeah.
No, it's a great challenge.
Yeah.
It's like, think of it as a family relationship. We love our family. We love our kids. But we don't defend everything they do.
Right,
sure.
Or support everything they do. That's a really stupid standard.
Yeah.
When Israel was controlled by some leftist prime ministers, presidents, it was hard. That doesn't mean, whatever they do, they're right. No. It just means that we support them. We want the best for them. We want to pull them iron sharpens iron.
Yep.
If there needs to be some correction, we try to bring it as political friends and allies. But
the reason I asked the question is because, as Dad pointed out, that's not at all what you said. That's not at all what we believe. But that's if you have any support toward Israel, or you think they're an ally of any kind, they've been taught that means that we don't also criticize them. Like you said, the analogy used with your family.
Yeah. Well,
they also say, and this. Maybe get Ray back on by phone the next half hour if possible, because I'd like to hear his thoughts on this. They also say, Sandy, can you stay on, Sandy?
Sure, I can. It's important.
Okay, because we also hear that, from even Tucker Carlson and others, there's nothing special about Israel.
Yes, that's also another issue.
And I would say, there is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
It's biblical.
Yeah. Listen, Sandy mentioned seeing the Holy Land. I want the holy sites of Christianity and Judaism protected.
Mm-hmm. By people.
If you let just Muslims take over that area, they'll destroy all the Christian sites.
Destroy.
I'm just telling you.
They'll destroy, and what they don't destroy, because for their own gain, they wouldn't let us visit.
Right. I mean, it's just. There's all kind of reasons why America needs to stand with Israel. It doesn't mean we can't criticize them from time to time, but we need to stand with Israel. We'll be back.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.